Christ is our hope in life. And he's our hope in death because in Christ we live. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to the Old Testament tonight to Psalm 42, the 42nd Psalm. We looked some in Psalm 40 last time and going to jump ahead a little bit here, but we're studying about living alive. And what a wonderful truth that our Savior lives. And that no matter what happens in this life, God is in control. No matter what. And we can worry and we can stress and we can fret, but it doesn't change anything. And we spent some time talking about being weary last time. Isaiah 40 and verse 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And maybe tonight you know something about being tired. And we're going to talk about something that goes along with being weary. When you get tired, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, when things just wear you down, it's easy for discouragement to set in. We're going to talk about being discouraged and how we can live alive in the Lord Jesus Christ in the face of discouragement and through discouraging times. So if you're able, let's stand together. We're going to pray, and then we'll read Psalm 42 together. And I want to ask Brother Terry Hsu if you'd lead us in prayer before we read God's Word. Amen. Psalm 42, verse 1. "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Amen. Please be seated. Discouragement is what happens when the soul begins to sink. You still believe, you still pray, you still attend church, you may still know what's true, but inwardly, on the inside, you feel cast down. Discouragement is dangerous. It's dangerous because it doesn't always look like rebellion. Sometimes it looks like heaviness. Sometimes it looks like silence. Sometimes it looks like withdrawing. Sometimes it looks like going through the motions but having no hope on the inside. We need to know that discouragement can happen to anyone. David was a man who was after God's own heart. He was a man who had the favor of God in his life, grace of God in his life. He was a man who was greatly blessed by God. And yet he faced discouragement. And we can read about a lot of people in the Bible who faced discouragement, men and women who faced times when things didn't go the way that they had hoped. Things didn't go the way that they had prayed. They didn't go the way that they had dreamed. And they became discouraged. And I want you to get this. Sometimes we look at people, if they're just discouraged and their soul is cast down, like, what's wrong with you? Don't you just have faith? But I want you to get this. Being discouraged doesn't mean that you don't have a heart for God. I mean, David said, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, we might say as the deer thirsts for the water, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. I mean, he had a desire to be near God and want to be with God, and yet in the midst of his discouragement, he had this real desire for God. So living alive as Christians doesn't mean every desire is strong. It doesn't mean that every feeling is bright. Sometimes living alive means that your soul feels dry.
Amen.
But you know where the water is.
Amen.
Discouragement is often deepened by tears, by memory, and by mockery. You see that in verses 3 and 4. He says, my tears have been my meat day and night. My food has been my tears. While they continually say unto me, where is thy God? So he has tears, and he has those who are mocking him. He says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Listen, David knew something about being with God's people and worshiping God, didn't he?
Amen.
I mean, when he was king and everything was good, I mean, he had developed this incredible worship team in Jerusalem and at the temple. He had the singers and the musicians, and they played day and night unto the Lord. And I can only imagine how glorious it was to hear hundreds of musicians and hundreds of singers just praising God continually day and night. He knew what it was like to go up with God's people at rejoicing, didn't he? You guys remember how he danced before the Lord when they brought the ark in? His wife was mocking him because he cast off his royal robes and he kind of shamed himself in front of the people. And he said it was before the Lord.
Amen.
He wasn't too concerned about what everybody else thought.
Amen. Amen.
He was concerned about rejoicing in who God was. And so now he's not there anymore. Now he's not with God's people. Now there's not joy and singing and praise. And so his discouragement is heightened by his remembering how good it used to be. You guys know anything about that?
Amen.
I mean, you can look back and go, man, I remember how it was. And sometimes that just adds to your discouragement. So,
amen.
Man, his tears have become his daily portion, like every day. Every day. I think when he says, my tears have become my meat day and night, I think he's saying, like, he's too depressed. He's too discouraged to even eat. He's longing for God. He has great desire, but his discouragement gets worse and worse because he remembers how things used to be. He is brokenhearted, and his enemies continually are taunting him. Where is your God? Where is your God? You trusted in God, and look at you. Look at what it got you. Where is he now? You've been run out of your place. Listen, people are going to mock.
Amen.
People are going to scoff. If people who don't understand the Bible and how God works are going to think if bad things are happening in your life, that means that God's abandoned you. But anybody who's actually read their Bible would know some things.
Amen.
Like those who serve God are going to face persecution.
Amen. Amen.
If you were to read your Bible, you would understand that men like the Apostle Paul suffered greatly doing what God called them to do.
Amen.
And unless we forget, the servant is not greater than his master.
Amen. Amen.
And our master suffered unimaginably for us.
Amen.
So they would mock him. Where's your God? And I want you to get this. Discouragement has to be dealt with. It's got to be dealt with. Look at verse 5. I love it because I can relate to this. You guys ever talk to yourself?
Amen.
I like it when people are relating things where they talk to themselves. Yeah, I said to myself, self? But that's kind of what he does here, isn't it?
Amen.
He's talking to himself. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Like, he's having a conversation with himself, and he sees that he's disquieted, that he's discouraged, that he is depressed. And he says, soul, why are you cast down? Soul, why are you discouraged? He's talking to himself. Why are you disquieted in me? And he speaks to himself and he preaches to himself. He says, hope thou in God.
Amen.
For yet I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance.
Right.
The psalmist doesn't just listen to his soul. He speaks to his soul. He questions his soul. And then he commands and directs his soul. Like, he talks to himself and he says, all right, get it together. Hope in God.
Amen.
So he kind of preaches to himself. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, the main trouble in this whole matter of spiritual depression is, in a sense, this. We allow ourself to talk to us instead of talking to ourself.
Amen.
Now, maybe that's a little confusing, but what he's saying is sometimes you're just listening to the way you feel and just kind of just listening to your complaint or your disquietness or your discomfort or your depression, and you're listening to all that. And he says, what you got to do is talk back to yourself.
Amen.
You depressed? Hey, self, why are you depressed? You discouraged? Hey, self, why are you discouraged? And what do you say? You just chew yourself out? No, you say, hope in God.
Amen.
Hope in God.
Amen.
I mean, if you're going to talk to yourself, you might as well, you know, make it constructive.
Amen.
Discouragement will tell you that nothing will change, that God has forgotten you. Discouragement says you're all alone. Discouragement will tell you there will never be a time to rejoice again. This is just the way things are now. But Psalm 42 teaches us,
amen,
to turn things around and remind yourself you've got no reason to be discouraged.
Right. Amen.
You got no reason, so hope in God,
right,
because you will praise him again.
Amen. Amen.
Discouragement can feel like you're somewhere else you don't want to be. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. Without leaving a room, like, I can physically be in the exact same place that I was, and I can feel like I'm in a different place. From one moment to the next, I can feel like I don't want to be here, in this place, in my heart, in my mind, in my condition. Like, this is not where I want to be. Oh my God, verse 6. My soul is cast down within me, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Now, early he talks about going to the house of God. Now he says, I'm going to remember you, God, from where I am. And I don't know exactly all that he means here. Jordan, the Hermonites, and the hill Mizar, from what I understand, that's in the north country, and it's away from Jerusalem. And I think, my understanding is, what he's saying is, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm going to praise God from wherever I am. I want to be in Jerusalem. I want to go up to the house of God. I want to worship him in his holy mountain, but I'm not there anymore. But that's not going to keep me from praising him from wherever I am.
Amen. Amen.
From this place of discouragement, from this place of disquietness, from this place of depression and despair, I'm going to just talk to myself, and wherever I am, I'm going to praise God from there.
Amen.
Sometimes, I don't know if you've ever felt like this, like, you just don't feel as close to God as you once did.
Amen.
I'm gonna tell you, if you've been saved very long, you're going to experience this, where I felt so close to the Lord. I felt so near to the heart of God. We sang that, right?
Amen.
Near to the heart of God. And other times, you feel like you're far away from the heart of God. But guess what, friends? He didn't go anywhere. Lo, I am with you alway, even to the end of the world, the age. Amen. He's with you, and you can just, wherever you are, no matter how you feel that distance, he is there. Remember even if you're not in the congregation. Remember, even if you're not in the middle of a worship service, remember when you're feeling weak and alone and separated, remember him. Verse 7, discouragement can come wave after wave, man. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Deep calleth unto deep gives a picture of one deep flood after another, one overwhelming amount of water after another. He talks about waterspouts, and I had to study this out because when I think of waterspouts, I think like tornadoes over water. That's what we call waterspouts. But apparently the Hebrew word behind this means rushing water. So this would be more like a waterfall. I don't know if you've ever been there where water is cascading down. Amen. You guys ever experienced that before? Amen. Like you just get under a waterfall and it just pushes you down. Amen. I remember one time when I was a kid, we got to go, I don't even remember where it was at, but there was a swimming pool and it had a waterfall, like, you know, not a real one, but you know. But we would swim under the waterfall and it would just push you to the bottom of the pool. And that's the idea of these water spouts. It just pushes you down. Or maybe some of you guys remember the ALS ice bucket challenge or the water challenge. You guys remember that? Yeah. I remember watching those videos because people would get a bucket and they would pour it on. And then some really clever people got like tractors with front end loaders. You guys remember that? And they would fill it full of ice water and the people would stand under it. And I'm like, that's a really bad idea. And it would just crush them. Okay, that's what it's talking about. That's the idea of this water spout is like water crushing down on you. It's deep unto deep. It's overwhelming floods. It's water spouts. It's the waves and billows. Okay, how many of you guys have ever been in the ocean before? Anybody ever been knocked down by a wave? I mean, if you've been in the ocean, you've probably been knocked down by a wave. It's just the way it goes. And what's crazy about that is you miss that one. It's like rogue, and it got you, and you're like, okay, I'm going to get up, and boom, and the next one gets you, right? I mean, they just keep coming. Like, it doesn't get turned off. Like, it just keeps going. And I want you to get this. This is what he feels like in his discouragement. It's just one thing after another, and it just keeps coming, and it's getting him down. But I want you to get this. Whose floods and water spouts and waves and billows are these? Because when David's singing to the Lord, he says, thy water spouts, thy waves, and thy billows. And I think even in the midst of it, he says, these things keep pushing me down, but I know they're from you, God.
Amen.
Doesn't that encourage you? Like when you're in the middle of something that is discouraging and depressing and it gets you down and you're like, I know God put me in this.
Amen.
Like, I don't like it. Amen. I don't want this, but it's from God.
Right.
He knows that God is in control. Whatever his circumstances are, he doesn't understand the pressure. He doesn't understand how it just keeps coming, but he knows that God's in control.
Amen.
Discouragement. Discouragement. Verse 7, he says, deep calls unto deep. At the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life.
Amen. Amen.
We usually talk about the but God. You ever heard that? You get all this, but God. Here it's yet. Same idea. Deep calls unto deep. Water spouts, waves, billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness. He'll command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me.
Right.
God's going to preserve me through the day, and he's going to be with me in the night. And I am just going to pray to the God of my life. He is my life. So faith says, I'm not overwhelmed. Excuse me, faith doesn't say, I'm not overwhelmed. Faith says, I am overwhelmed.
Amen.
But God's got me. I am overwhelmed, but the Lord is still the God of my life. So discouragement. Amen. Discouragement. I want you to get this, and I love how the psalmist talks to the Lord. Look at verse 9. Discouragement can question God while still holding on to him.
Amen.
He says, I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?
Amen.
So David's not just saying, everything's fine.
Right.
Nothing happening, nothing wrong here. No, he says, I am overwhelmed, but I'm going to pray to God. He's my life. And then he says, I'm going to cry out to God. Why have you forgotten me? Why am I brokenhearted? Why are my enemies overcoming me? So he faces up to the reality, but he's still holding on to God, his rock.
Amen.
God is his rock, his stability, his refuge, his strength, his security. He's everything. So I'm overwhelmed. My enemies are coming after me, but God is unchanging.
Amen.
Living alive.
Does
not mean you never ask hard questions.
Amen.
It doesn't mean you never deal with painful realities. It means that while you're holding on to God, you're saying why.
Amen.
How long? And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. Just time out if you've checked out. I know a lot of people think it's a sin to ask God why. I'm going to tell you my conviction. It's not a sin to ask God why.
That's right.
See it all through the scripture. I never see God say, don't ask me that again, boy. I don't see that. It's okay to, now I want to warn you, if he answers, you may not like the answer.
That's right.
But he loves you and he's going to do what's best for you.
That's right. Amen.
So he says, why? Why? His pain isn't over yet. Verse 10, discouragement can make words feel like wounds. As with the sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? You guys remember this? From the playground, sticks and stones may break my bones, but is that true? I mean, it wasn't true for David. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me. The reproach is what they say. It's what they're saying about him. It's what they're saying about his God. And it's like a sword to his bones.
Amen.
It hurt him. It cut him deeply.
Amen.
The things that people said to him.
Amen.
Discouragement doesn't only come from what happens to you, but what the enemy says about you.
Amen.
And what the enemy says to you about what happened.
Amen.
Where's your God? If God loved you, why would he let this happen to you? If you were close to God, you wouldn't feel the way you feel. If God really loved you and you were close to God, if you were walking with God, you wouldn't feel the way you do today.
Amen.
That's what the enemy says.
Right.
And it cuts deep.
Amen.
Cuts deep. Verse 11, why are you cast down, my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. We've got to learn to overcome discouragement.
Amen.
You're never going to overcome discouragement if you can't admit that it's a problem. If you can't be honest with God the way that David was. But if you can do that, then God can help you through the discouragement. And by the way, it's not a once and done deal. There's going to be times you're going to be greatly encouraged, and there's going to be times you're going to be greatly discouraged, and it's going to be that way for the rest of your days.
Amen.
So how do we deal with it? Let me give you 7 practicalities very quickly. Number 1, recognize the condition of your soul. Recognize the condition of your soul. Be honest with yourself. Why are you cast down, my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? So Psalm 42:5, he just acknowledges the reality. He doesn't just say, I'm fine, everything's fine, we're all fine, everything's fine here, right?
Amen.
He's honest with himself. He says, I'm cast down, I'm discouraged. And I want to tell you, I don't know, maybe the rest of you don't have this problem, but I have a really hard time with this. You got a hard time with it today.
Amen.
Hey, brother, how are you doing? I'm fine. Fine, everything's fine, doing just fine. I'd rather be honest with myself and with you and with God.
Amen.
Not pretend. And try to recognize the reality. Just because you're discouraged doesn't mean that you don't believe God.
Amen.
Recognize, be honest with yourself. Number two, remember God.
Amen.
Remember God from wherever you are. Oh, my soul, oh God, oh my God, my soul. Verse 6, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the hill Mizar. Like he doesn't say, when I get back home, then I'll remember God.
Amen.
When things get better, then I'll remember the Lord. No, wherever I am, I'm going to remember God.
Amen.
Remember God from where you are. Number three, recognize the waves, but don't deny God's rule.
Amen.
Recognize the waves, but don't deny God's rule. Listen, thy water spouts, thy waves, thy billows are gone over me. The waves are real,
Amen.
But they're still his waves.
Right.
Living alive means you can say, this is overwhelming. But you don't have to say this is outside of God's control.
Amen.
So recognize the waves, but don't deny God's rule. Number four, rest in God's loving kindness.
Amen. Amen.
Rest in God's loving kindness. Verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I just soak in that word for a second. Loving kindness. Isn't that good? I mean, I think loving kindness is good from anybody.
Amen.
Anyone who's loving and kind, like, that's kind of nice. It's really cool when it comes from the God of glory, who has all power and authority, and is in his person love. Like, this is who he is. So when God is loving and kind to us, man, it just kind of takes care of all the problems.
Amen.
Rest in that. Remember that no matter what's going on, he is going to command his loving kindness towards you, and his song is going to be with you, and you can pray, and he is the God of your life.
Amen.
Number five, bring your questions to God. Bring your questions to God. Whatever's going on in your life, it's okay.
Amen.
To ask him, why is this happening?
Amen.
Why is this going on? Why would you allow these things to happen? God, I don't understand what's happening. It's okay to talk to God like that.
Amen.
And he may tell you and he may not. But I'll tell you this, just talking to him helps.
Right.
Just knowing that you can take it to him changes everything. So bring your questions to God. Remember, he's your rock.
Right.
Number six, answer the enemy with truth. Answer the enemy with truth. In verses 10 and 11, he kind of puts it together. As with the sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, like incessantly, where is your God? He says, why are you cast down, my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. He just brings it back to the truth of who God is and what he's done for him. Answer the enemy with truth. By the way, that's what the Lord did in the temptation. It's what we have to do every day.
Amen.
Number seven, don't quit.
Right.
Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 is a verse I know most of you are familiar with. But if you're not, Galatians 6 and verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Amen.
Amen. I remember hearing a sermon years ago, and I probably shared the illustration with you. As far as I know, it's a true story that an evangelist told one time. He said they were outside just visiting, and their little girl was riding their bicycle along by a picket fence. And she fell off the fence. She fell off the bike onto the picket fence. And when she got up, she was bleeding. It looked like she was bleeding really bad. And so the dad scooped her up. And when the wife saw all the blood, she fainted. And he scooped up the kid. They lived about a block or two from the hospital. So he just takes up running. And he said, "You get up. This is no time to faint." And so he rushes his little girl. Wife's passed out in the yard. He just runs to the hospital. And it turned out that she wasn't okay. It was just superficial. Wasn't a big deal. The little girl was okay. But, man, sometimes, friends, this is no time to faint. This day that which we live, it's no time to faint. It's time to wake up. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, and I know sometimes you get discouraged, and I know sometimes you want to quit, but don't ever quit doing what God's called you to do.
Amen.
Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Keep praising Him. Keep trusting in Him. Keep living for Him. I think somebody illustrated it like this. Discouragement feels like walking through fog. You ever try to get up in the morning, go somewhere, and it's so foggy you can barely see in front of the car? I hate those days. We get fog warnings, and you're like, oh, man. And you're driving, and you can't hardly see. But let me ask you a question. When it's so foggy you can't see, is the road still there?
Amen.
If it's 9 o'clock in the morning and you're driving and it's foggy, is the sun still there?
Amen.
The road's still there. The sun's still there. You just can't see them. And so I think that's what discouragement does to it. It's like being in a fog. You feel like the road's not there. You feel like you can't know what's coming next. You feel like the sun's not even out anymore. But that's all a lie. Maybe your sight's limited, and maybe everything feels a little heavier and a little more uncertain, but it doesn't change the truth. The road's still there. It's right in front of you. And all you can ever do is take one step at a time anyway. And the sun is still shining. And if you'll just keep trusting in Him, keep moving forward, the sun will be right there.
Amen.
Always with you. Keep trusting in God.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank You for the opportunity to gather with the saints tonight. I pray that You'll bless. Pray that You'll help us to love You. To love Your word. Help us to walk in Your truth and to depend on Your truth every day of our lives. Lord, whatever struggles anyone in the church is going through, I pray You'll help all of us to hope in You. Help us to be honest with You and to just be real before You. God, I pray that You'll help us to overcome the discouragement, help us to overcome our enemies, and help us to stay faithful to You no matter what. Thank You for Your grace and Your mercy, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.